Shall we bow our heads before we begin? Dear Lord, thank you so much for another beautiful day, for your many blessings. Thank you that we can be here together, and I pray now that we would allow your word to be powerful in our life tonight to change our life. And we thank you for these blessings that you have given us in your laws of health. In your name, amen. In Genesis it said, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good." And a little later on it says, "And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you it shall be for meat." That was the meat that God gave us right from the very beginning, herb-bearing seed and fruit. And then a little later on, he said, "Thou shalt eat the herb of the field." And so here we see that God's original diet for us was fruits and grains and nuts and legumes and vegetables. In Genesis 2:7 it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." It's very interesting. I heard a gardener talking about soil, preparing the soil. And he said that when you have good ground that is balanced, completely balanced soil for growing fruits and vegetables, he said it's the same proportion of elements in the ground as you find in the human body, nearly the same. And that would make sense because God took the ground and formed us. So it would make sense that we would eat things that come from the ground to nourish us. Now let's talk about what God gave us originally and what is in our food. We have carbohydrates, and our diet should consist about 70% of carbohydrates. Now, what do? There's sugars in carbohydrates, simple sugars, which are quick releasing fast energy, and then we have more complex sugars in carbohydrates. That's the starch, and that releases energy slower. That's the best kind of energy to have, is from the starch. And then we have fiber, and fiber helps things move along through the digestive tract. It helps release things slower, like the sugar. Very good for diabetics to eat a lot of fiber because that breaks down slower, releases sugar slower, so they don't get a big rush of sugar into their bloodstream all of a sudden for their insulin to try to deal with. And so it's very good to eat a lot of fiber. Fiber also takes cholesterol out with it as well. Okay, what else is in our food that God has given us? Proteins. Now, some people say if you're completely vegetarian or vegan, you don't eat any meat or animal products, you don't get enough protein. And part of the problem is that we have believed a myth that you need a lot more protein than you actually do. You only need around 20 to 40 grams of protein every day. And I think most Americans eat over 100, 120 grams a day. So we eat way more protein than we need. You get plenty of protein from a strictly vegetarian, vegan diet. Now, what does protein do? It's the building blocks for growth and development. It acts in forming hormones, enzymes, and antibodies. It maintains the acid and alkaline balance, and it's a source of heat and energy. Not as efficient energy as carbohydrates, but it does give you some energy. Fat, that is in the food that God has given us. I think most of us would agree we don't need as much fat as we probably get. So many of our prepared foods nowadays, and of course meat and animal products, have a lot of fat in them. But the kind of fat that God gave us is what our body needs. We need fat. And most of the fat in plant foods is unsaturated fat. And that's a good kind of fat, monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fat. And along with it comes all the vitamins and the minerals and everything else that you need and your body can utilize that fat appropriately. It's good to eat avocados and nuts and these kinds of things. I hear some people say, well, I can't eat too many nuts or avocados. It's true, you don't want to indulge. You still need to be temperate about eating fats, but they're not harmful fats. They're good fats for us. And what do? They give us some energy, not as efficient as the carbohydrate, but they do give us energy. They carry the fat-soluble vitamins, A, D, E, and K, that are very essential to our bodies. Fatty acids are important for growth, health, and smooth skin. And we need cholesterol. The cholesterol is in our cell walls and also in the bile, in sex hormones, and in vitamin D. So cholesterol is very important. But your body makes what you need for cholesterol. You don't get any cholesterol if you eat a purely vegetarian or vegan diet. The cholesterol only comes from animal products. Okay, and vitamins. That's something else God gave us. And the main purpose for vitamins is for growth and tissue maintenance. And minerals. They're good for structural parts of our body, our bones, our teeth, the electrolyte balance, potassium, sodium, chloride and calcium, and also the repair and regeneration of tissues. And then we come to enzymes. We can't improve on the way God packaged our food because He put enzymes specific to what is in that food packaged right in there, and that helps to digest the food. So if you're eating an avocado, you have more fat enzymes to help digest that fat. If you're eating an apple, you have more carbohydrate enzymes to efficiently digest the food. Now, when you cook your food, or when you eat it processed or refined or all these kinds of things, you have no enzymes. Enzymes are destroyed or denatured about 118 to 130 degrees. And your body produces enzymes, so your food will still be digested. Your pancreas produces enzymes to help digest your food. But a lot of times when people are quite ill, they're trying to get over a serious illness, they eat their food raw, most of their food raw, because it puts less stress on the body. Then the body has more energy to heal itself rather than constantly trying to digest food. Okay, the other thing that we get in food is phytochemicals. And those are plant chemicals. And they help protect that plant when the plant's growing. And when we take those in, they help protect us as well. And we'll talk a little bit about phytochemicals in a few minutes. Now, what happens? We've talked about all these wonderful things that God packaged in our food. What happens when we refine it and we process it? You lose vitamins. If you take supplements, they are not used as efficiently in your body as if you ate the food itself. Minerals. You lose minerals, and the same thing if you take supplements, your body doesn't use them as well as if you ate it just the way God made it. You lose enzymes, you lose phytochemicals, you lose the fiber, and then you get increased concentrations of sugar, protein, and fat. And we know some of the problems with that. Sugar. Too much sugar turns to fat. Someone was asking me the other day about losing weight, and they said, well, I don't eat meat, and I don't eat dairy products, and I was asking different things, well, what do you do, and this and that, and finally it came out, well, they ate a lot of sugar. They really liked sugar. Well, sugar will turn to fat. Refined sugar, now not the sugar the way God gave us in the fruits, will not turn to fat. When you eat too much sugar, it decreases a hormone that pumps nutrients into the teeth and bones. Not only does it get caught between your teeth, it actually decreases the amount of nutrients that are pumped into those teeth and bones. It takes or depletes the body's resource of nutrients, and it decreases the ability of the white blood cells to destroy bacteria. We talked about that last night. If you eat too much protein, what are the risks of eating too much concentrated protein, not packaged in the food God gave us? You have an increased risk of osteoporosis. And why is that? Because your body does not store protein. If it stored protein, you'd look bulky and big. Your body gets rid of the excess protein that it doesn't use. And so when it gets rid of excess protein, it takes water with it, so you tend to be more dehydrated. And it takes minerals and vitamins out with it as well, especially calcium And that's why you're at an increased risk of osteoporosis when you have a high-protein diet. Kidney dysfunction and stones. The kidneys are trying to get rid of all this excess protein, so a lot of minerals are going out too, and so you have an increased risk of getting kidney stones. Increased risk of cancer, heart disease, increased risk of cholesterol, and atherosclerosis. Okay, how about fat? Too much fat, what's wrong with that? Heart disease decreases the nutrients and oxygen to tissues and organs. It decreases your energy. And, of course, increased storage of fat in the body. So here's just a few things when we start tampering with the food. We refine it, we process it. We have increased concentrations of things that are harmful, and we lose things that are nutritious. Okay, cooked food. We talked a little bit about cooked food. You do lose some vitamins when you cook food. And with fat, if you cook food at real high temperatures, it changes the natural shape from a cis. This is the shape of the fat from a cis to a trans, which is straight, and that's associated with heart disease. That's at frying and deep fat frying and real high temperature changes. And sometimes even when I cook with a little olive oil, I may cook my beans all day and then add the olive oil later, right at the end of cooking. So you want to be careful not to heat your fat up too hot. Vitamins, they say that 97% of water-soluble vitamins are lost, that's B and C, when you cook food, and 40% of fat-soluble vitamins are lost when you cook the food. And enzymes, we talked about that, they're denatured and destroyed, so your food is not as efficiently digested. Okay, now we've just talked about plant foods. How about meat? In the Bible, if we read in Leviticus, there are specific instructions about meat, clean and unclean meats, and no fat and no blood. And if we'd followed these rules, we would have much less trouble with meat than we do. But we haven't followed the rules. And so we've gotten a lot of disease, and also because now things generally in our poor old world are more diseased, the animals are much more unsafe now than they ever used to be. And so just a few things about what happens when we eat meat. Of course, we're at risk for mad cow disease, which in the human form is Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. And we do know that mad cow disease does skip the animal barrier. Other animals have come down with that. And there have even been people that have come down with Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. It crosses the species barrier, and it's spread by a prion, which you cannot get rid of when you heat your food up to high temperatures. A prion is a protein, and that is not killed by real high temperatures like you can kill other viruses and bacteria in meat if you heat it up high enough. You cannot kill the prion, and it attacks the nervous system. And so that's a very serious concern about eating meat. Other risks by eating meat is cancer and leukemia. Bacterial poisonings. It was interesting, I read a statistic. 76 million suffer from foodborne diseases from animal sources. 76 million. And this is like Campylobacter and E. coli and Salmonella and those kinds of things. 325,000 are hospitalized and 5,000 die. Crohn's disease. Worms, probably more people have worms than they realize. Of course, heart disease, diabetes. The real thing with diabetes is, you know, a lot of people think it's a lot of sugar, which sugar can be a problem with diabetes. One of the main problems with diabetes is a high-fat diet because fat clogs things up. Your insulin cannot latch on and open up the door to take in that sugar when you're on a high-fat diet. Osteoporosis, kidney disease, these are all problems with eating meat. And just a few things about milk. This is from the U.S. Public Health Service regulation. Milk after pasteurization, this is what they say, it should contain no more than 2,000 bacteria per milliliter of milk and no more than 10 coliform of bacteria in each milliliter. So what does that mean? That means in every glass of milk that you drink, you're getting 5 million bacteria and 2,500 coliform from stool. So our bodies are amazing. They are in overtime trying to combat this bacteria and stuff that we're putting into us. Bacteria, viruses, possibly prions they think might get into the milk from mad cow. Antibiotics, hormones, pesticides. Several years ago when we were starting to change our diet a little bit, my husband decided to go vegan and not use any milk products, but I didn't really feel the need at that time. And so I love ice cream, and so I had ice cream every night before I went to bed. And he would tell me about all the pus and the blood and all the stuff I was eating in my ice cream. But we make a vegan ice cream, and you're going to get to try that tomorrow night. And I think it's better than real ice cream. Maybe I'm just prejudiced because I've gotten used to it, but I think it's pretty tasty. And I didn't invent the recipe, so I can say that. Okay, now, we talked about the problems then, what we do to alter our food and destroy it and take out the benefits. But let's talk about the benefits that we get in food and phytochemicals. I want to spend just a little bit of time. There are thousands in every bite of fruit or vegetable, and they're designed to protect the plant from sunlight, but they also offer protection for those who eat the plants. And the phytochemicals have biochemical properties which go far beyond vitamins and minerals and even antioxidant nutrients in their ability to protect us from multiple processes that lead to cancer and other health problems. So I want to just tell you a little bit about phytochemicals and how you can get them. Just for instance, cabbage. That seems pretty plain, right? It's one of the richest sources of vitamins and minerals, but it also has phytochemicals which help protect us from carcinogens, help prevent carcinogens from forming from potentially harmful substances that we take in. The other thing that cabbage does is people that have tumors, some tumors are self-growing. They take them out and they can't get rid of them because they have their own blood supply. And what cabbage does is it helps decrease the capillaries, the blood supply to tumors. A little plain old cabbage does that. They excel all other vegetables in drawing out pain and inflammation, especially in rheumatoid arthritis. And I wanted to, I think I had a little more information in here on cabbage. I just wanted to read it to you real quick. It's amazing what cabbage does. Cabbage is of prime value for relief in rheumatism, arthritis, excels all other vegetables in drawing out pain of any inflammation, whether internal or external. Internal, it's good for cirrhosis of the liver, dysentery, intestinal disease, anemia, arthritis, gout. And external, it's good for burns, insect bites, boils. And you can crush them up and apply it over a wound or a bite or inflammation, and it will help draw that out or soothe the inflammation that you have. It's amazing, the phytochemicals in cabbage. Okay, cayenne. Now, we talked about cayenne last night. Did you know cayenne can relieve pain? It has an effect when you take it internally, like morphine. It stimulates production of gastric juices, it breaks up congestion, it lowers cholesterol, and it helps prevent blood clots by extending blood coagulation time. So people that are having a heart attack, if they take a little cayenne tincture under their tongue, it will help stop that heart attack because it helps break up the blood clots. Okay. Broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, kale, cabbage, they all have phytochemicals that help fight cancer and boost the immune system. Alfalfa sprouts, they have phytochemicals that lowers elevated cholesterol. Beans and lentils, they have phytochemicals to ward off cancer, and they're high in fiber, which we talked about how good fiber is. Yams, we're going to be having yams on Sunday in a casserole. They have phytochemicals to block receptor sites for certain hormones involved in cancer promotion. We talked about garlic and how wonderful that is. So I won't go on and on about garlic. I wanted to read you a little bit about fruit. Just the benefits of phytochemicals in apples. bladder cleanser, intestinal infections, inflammation of the colon, arthritis, an acid stomach. They have excellent fiber. They aid in detoxifying metals that you've gotten into your body. They help lower blood cholesterol, lower blood pressure. Apricots. They're good for constipation. We have 5 apricot trees, and they were just loaded this summer. And I ate a ton of apricots, and I had no trouble. Muscle and nerve tissue, their apricots are good for that. All bowel disorders, I believe that. And skin, it's good for your skin. Excellent fiber. Avocados, they're good for hypoglycemia, for urinary infections, for the nerves. And bananas. I could just go on and on. All the things that God packaged in this food just for us that is healing to our bodies. And if we eat a variety of fruits and vegetables and legumes and grains and nuts, we will get all these wonderful healing benefits from that food. I have a handout here for you that just goes over a few of the things that we've talked about. One of them here is how to help prevent cancer, and it gives specific cancers and then different fruits and vegetables that you can eat. And then on the back page, it tells you the phytochemical, it tells you what it does, and then it tells you where you can find them, what fruits and vegetables that you can find it in. So I thought that that might be helpful to you. And it's interesting, I looked up some information on meat. You know, we talked about what we need. We need carbohydrates and protein and fat and vitamins and minerals and enzymes and phytochemicals. Well, in meat, there's very little carbohydrate. Meat has almost none. I think in liver, maybe there was a tiny, tiny bit of carbohydrate. The rest of it, on my little chart that I had, it was zip. No carbohydrate. And that needs to be about 70% of our diet. Lots of protein. We talked about how there's a problem with lots of protein. Lots of fat. Decreased vitamins and minerals, decreased enzymes and phytochemicals. So we can see that it's not the best option if we want to maintain our health and to have healing. But you know, last night we talked about how Jesus doesn't want to just heal us physically. He wants to heal us spiritually. And so what is our spiritual food that God wants to give us as well? So we have total healing. And in John 6:35, it says, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." And that's the kind of bread food that God wants to give us, is himself. We'll never go hungry or thirsty spiritually with Jesus. And in Galatians 5:22-23, it says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And so here's the fruit that we can ask for, that God wants to give us for spiritual and mental healing as well. And my very favorite text about water and about food in the Bible is in Exodus 23:25. It's a powerful promise that God gives us. He says, "And ye shall serve the Lord your God." And what does that mean, to serve the Lord your God? It means to follow these things that he's given us, right? "And he shall bless thy bread and thy water." He promises to bless the food that we eat and the water that we drink. "And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee." Isn't that a powerful promise that God has given us? He's given us food and water, and he says, if you serve me, if you eat it and drink it the way I've designed you to use it, that I will bless it and I'll take sickness away from the midst of thee.
This is Allison Ann. If you like my mom and dad to dumb and speak, call me. at 509-779-4900. Or visit us on the web at www.backtoenoch.org. Goodbye, and God bless you.